Welcome to The Merge Feast, the podcast where we satisfy your cravings for all things Survivor. We're your hosts, Sam and Mags, and this is a recap for Season 46, Episode 2. Probably the most accidentally funny episode of Survivor I've ever watched. I was dying laughing.
Really?
Yeah, I teared up a little bit.
Okay, you have laughing. To point out all of these moments.
Okay.
I agree that this episode was what had its funny moments. I think it was a fantastic episode, so shall we?
Yeah, let's get into the recap.
Listen, I don't know why I said that, because I actually have a few things to say before we dig in.
Let's not get into the recap. Go ahead.
First things first, I saw an interesting statistic mm-hmm. over the weekend. You know how Tevin gave that first quote at the beginning of the season, and it was a little bit of an opening monologue?
Uh-huh.
The person who gets the opening monologue quote finishes in eighth place.
Eighth place?
Yeah. So
that's not very good.
I know. So maybe Tevin's not the one.
I kind of got that feeling today watching.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's...
It's hard. You can never judge somebody based on just one episode, but... He showed some moments of weakness today.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good way to put it. But anything else before we jump right into it?
Yes.
Okay.
One other thing. Last week, if you'll remember, we had a discussion about why it is unacceptable to use your hand to erase a whiteboard.
Uh-huh.
I posted on our Instagram
uh-huh.
a poll.
Okay. Just asking the people.
Yep. Just asking the people. So I gave three options. First, it's gross to use your hand because it makes your hand dirty. Second, it ruins the board.
This is right.
Or third, ain't nothing wrong with the hand.
Uh-huh. What did the people say?
The people had stuff to say about this.
Okay. I'm curious.
And the results came back overwhelmingly. My way. 88% of people said it's gross to use your hand because it makes your hand dirty. 12% said it ruins the board. Nobody voted for ain't nothing wrong with the hand. So we all agree using the hand is wrong.
Yeah.
But the smart people just think it's because it makes your hand dirty.
Well, I learned something from this poll.
Okay.
And that is that a pure democracy is flawed. It's a flawed system. That's why we have a constitution and Congress. And representatives who make the tough decisions for us, because the average voter is not smart enough to make these decisions.
Okay, those are all my housekeeping items. Let's get into the recap.
Into the recap, we start with the previously on Survivor by Jeff. It's first one of the season. Yeah, episode two, we get our first one. Just a brief recap of the Charlie's Angels. What else did they recap? I didn't really take notes on it.
I didn't either, because you always take notes on it.
Well, it's just the Charlie's Angels then. But we start, after the previously on, we start morning after tribal.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get the night of tribal.
There must not have been a whole lot of drama.
Yeah, it must have been boring. They sent Jelinski home and they just went home and all fell asleep, I guess. I don't know. But the next morning after tribal, Banu is meditating or praying on the beach and talking about, you know, how is he going to move forward in the game? He feels like he's kind of on rocky ground, which he is, because he's on a tribe of losers. And they're starting to recognize that they're losers.
Everybody is sitting around and they are surrounding Jess, who is, I don't know how else to say it, but she's delicately hacking at a branch on a tree. And for whatever reason, everybody but Banu is just sitting there watching her do this.
Yeah, Banu is trying to make fire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't know why everybody's watching Jess do this, like what sort of entertainment was providing, or if it was like she was trying to actually get something. But it was kind of like giving off the vibe when you could tell she was scared to swing it really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminded me of like when you're cutting an avocado and you want to get the pit out and you swing the knife at the pit. But it's scary because in theory you're swinging the knife at your own hand, but the pit's there to stop it, but it's still scary, and so it's hard to go full force at that.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of giving those like delicate avocado vibes. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
But apparently it was really interesting because
everybody
the tribe
just standing
take
there
their eyes
watching.
Off of it.
Yeah. I can relate. I love watching people take the pits out of avocados. It's kind of a interesting dynamic at this beach because they have Banu who's very, you know, out there all over the place. Jess is also out there all over the place, but in a less intense way. She's kind of a lighter, like in the clouds, kind of out there. She's eating ants. Mm-hmm. Tiffany's bugged that she's eating ants. No pun intended. Wow, that one just slipped out. But Tiffany's annoyed. But it's like, why is Tiffany getting annoyed at Jess that she's eating ants? What show do you think you're on?
Uh-huh. Right, exactly.
If somebody were eating ants on, you know, Amazing Race, you'd be like, okay, that's a weirdo.
Exactly.
This is Survivor. People have been known to eat weirder things.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I've got some stuff to say about Tiffany and Kenzie. I'm going to save it for later, though.
Okay. Well, speaking of Kenzie, she gets emotional.
Mm-hmm.
She is kind of, we're day four, and she's hitting her wall of kind of emotion. They're all tired of losing,
right?
First of all, but Kenzie's just talking about, you know, she knew it was going to be hard. Obviously didn't know how hard it was going to be.
Sure.
She probably underestimated it a little bit, and she's hitting her wall.
I appreciate that she hits her wall in private. Because in this game, it's never well received whenever you have your mental breakdown early on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was smart that she went and climbed into a cave all by herself, and that she vented to the camera, but kept it between her and the viewer and not her and the tribe.
Is the emotional moment lost a little bit, knowing that she had to wait for production to get the drone shot all set up for her to climb into that cave? She just wanted to go out and do something spontaneous. The producer's like, oh, wait, just hang on there. Our drone guy, he's like half an hour away. He's on a boat. He's on his way right now. Just sit there. Hold on to that sadness, though. Just hold on to it.
Sit in the uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah, exactly. But after Kenzie's crying, we get to the title sequence. I skipped through it.
I did, too.
I think I was so excited to have it back last season. Mm-hmm. I'm done with it.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not done with it. I want it to be there. I just don't want to watch it.
Don't want to watch it, yeah. I'd rather fast forward through it than not have it at all.
Yeah.
But we get to the Nami Beach. The winning tribe, really. They're winning everything. But all is not right in paradise. Soda is cutting Venus off. She says, you know, nobody likes you, so I'm not going to like you either. I'm sorry that we actually would get along. We connected, but nobody else connected with you, so I can't be seen talking to you.
Venus is taking this really difficult. I think I would too if I was in her position. But this whole episode, I kept thinking, Venus needs to take a page out of Emily's book. Emily from last season, who realized she was on the outs and was able to adapt and change everything and made it really far in the game and is like a fan favorite unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Venus needs to she keeps saying, like, everybody hates me, there's nothing I can do, but there is something you can do. Everybody hated Emily too.
Yeah, it's true. You just gotta kind of turn on the charm. But I'll tell you, this whole episode reminded me of a few things of just like middle school. It was very middle school-y.
Oh, heck yeah. I thought the same exact thing.
I this part cracked me up when Soda just cuts off Venus, because I remember having to do that to a kid in middle school, you know, just nobody liked him. So he sat next to me at lunch and I said, hey, pal, listen, you're a nice guy. I can't sit next to you. I wonder what happened to that guy.
That's the most evil story I've ever heard.
It was me. I got cut off. We bounced from there to the Siga Beach. And they've finally started their fire. They got their flint after the last challenge. Ben started it.
Yes, go Ben. We love Ben.
He's everybody's favorite, seems like.
Including Nicolas Cage's favorite.
That made me laugh. That was so funny.
That's on brand for him.
He cries after making the fire and says, I didn't even cry when I met Nicolas Cage. But I'm curious what era, like, Nicolas Cage he met.
Right.
Was this 90s Nicolas Cage? Was this National Treasure Nicolas Cage? Is this modern day, current Nicolas Cage? It's a different person.
It really is. We could do a whole podcast all about that. Ben in his talking head, where he talks about meeting Nicolas Cage and kind of how building that fire was a confidence boost for him. I would not have caught this had I not had the subtitles on, but he said, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shred.
Just a little joke, just a little humor. He
it's
slipped
perfect
in there.
For him. Yeah. He's cute. We love him.
That was good. I thought that Ben he's like Zach from School of Rock in real life, like as an adult.
Oh, I love that so
like he's
much.
He's grown up and now here he is. Like Rock pulled him out of his funk when he was a kid and now he lives rock.
I love that.
Thanks to Mr. Schneebly.
Uh-huh. Well, Tim is wearing his buff in the same way that he was last episode, so it's not a fluke and this must be his new brand. He's coming up with a new way to wear a buff. It's sticking for him, and I like it.
Yeah. He's hatching a plan, though, to break the women up.
Right.
He wants to pull Maria.
Right.
Because she's the most powerful of the women. So pull her over to the men's alliance. They want to pull Maria over because she's got the extra vote that she got from the journey. But Maria and Charlie, is this Malcolm and Denise 2.0?
I love this. I think this was a great move for both of them. I think this could be our unlikely duo. I loved Malcolm and Denise. I loved them so much. I loved them individually. I loved them working together. So to see kind of like a mother-son type relationship come again, I'm really excited about it.
It's just a great story. You know, a mother and her son taking on the trials of life. It's kind of like Pursuit of Happiness, but if Will Smith was actually Jada Pinkett.
Yeah, those trials are the same.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
And it's funny because as they're walking away after kind of solidifying their analogy, he says, "And if it's us and the boys, then it's us with the boys. And if it's us with the girls, then it's us with the girls. And if I change my mind, I change my mind."
Whatever works for us. Exactly.
I added that last part, but it's a pretty funny quote.
It is good. Back at the Nami Beach, Venus decides she's going to go after the idol mm-hmm. because nobody likes her anyway. Unfortunately for her, everybody else also thinks the same thing.
Yeah. She says that over and over again that Tevin hates her. And so, she says, "There's nothing I can do." And there is something she can do. She can befriend Tevin.
You know what? It's actually crazy you say that because I didn't even think of that. When she said Tevin doesn't like her, I was like, yeah, it's true. She's pretty stuck.
Might as well. She's done.
She's done. But everybody's looking for the idol at this point. And guess who finds it? The person who had the least screen time all episode last week.
His publicist was so happy about this. You find the idol, they have to show you.
Yeah. Randon. Randon finds the idol. For those listening at home, he is a player in the game. He's been here since day one. I haven't talked about him much, but Randon finds the beware advantage. So he doesn't actually have the idol yet. He has to do the same thing as Tiffany last episode, where he has to, you know, get the key to the box and unlock the box. But he can't do that until they've lost a challenge, mm-hmm. which seems like it may never happen.
Yeah, they're on a huge winning streak. Now, this new idol, I didn't give it much thought last week, but I really thought about it today. It gives a very interesting twist to the season because it's layered. If you make your tribe lose so that you can get your idol, you may get voted off because somebody's going home if you lose. You don't get your idol until after you get back from tribal. So you lose, you don't have a vote, and you don't have your idol.
Well, you have the time between losing the challenge and tribal starting to try and find the idol.
Oh, you do?
Which is what Tiffany did. So she got it before. So she got her vote back.
What was I doing?
And she got the idol.
All right, well.
But it's true. You don't have days, right? It means that your search for the idol has to happen in a matter of hours at the same time everybody is trying to put together their plans for tribal.
That's right. So it does. Right.
But I'm curious, if they get all the way to the merge and they switch beaches, does he get his vote back?
Yeah, that's interesting.
If they never lose and never have to go to tribal, which seems possible mm-hmm. at this point, what happens to his vote?
Right. Because
he never gets the idol. I don't know. We'll see what happens,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, something to track.
Back at the Yanu Beach, we have just Jess, just being an enigma wrapped in a riddle, seasoned with a puzzle. Deep fried in mystery oil.
Mystery oil. I like Jess.
Me too.
I like her quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
And something that I love that she says here is she gets the vibe that people don't like her. And she says, "I am making more of an effort to get them to know me." Instead of saying like getting to know them. That's funny, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, that's what Venus needs. That's the attitude that Venus needs to have. Like, absolutely. I'm going to make an effort so they can get to know me. Instead of just saying, well, they hate me, so there's nothing I can do.
Yeah. Jess has a great attitude.
Right.
She just seems so nice.
She really does.
She just seems like a very kind, just kind of fun person.
Super kind.
But she does throw Kenzie under the bus because Kenzie kind of takes Banu and Jess aside and says like, "Hey, there's three of us here. Nobody else is here.
Right.
Should we just make it to final three?"
Right.
And Jess looks at the other two and is like, "Yuck, no."
I don't know why Jess did that.
Why is she so picky? She has no friends.
I know. She really... I just think that's a rule of Survivor Thumb. Does that work?
A Survivor rule of thumb is probably.
Yeah, but I was just.
But I like a rule of Survivor Thumb.
Spice it up a little bit.
This is written, tattooed on Jeff's thumb.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that anybody proposes to you a final three, you go with it.
Yeah.
It does more damage to deny it in that moment than it could ever do for you to betray it later.
It's true. I agree with you. Wanting like this, I'll think about it. That means no. Anytime somebody says, "Oh, you want to work with me?" I'll think about that. That means they don't want to work with you.
Yep.
The weird part about this is Jess doesn't have anybody to work with. So why is she?
What did she have to think about?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Back at the Siga Beach, we have a battle happening here. This started to make, this is kind of what started making me laugh.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love this. Explain it a little bit.
Okay. We have the Charlie challenges Ben to a song naming contest. Charlie says, I'll name Taylor Swift songs and you can choose any artist you like and you name their songs and whoever runs out of songs first loses.
Right.
So Ben chooses Metallica. Mm-hmm. It's Metallica versus Taylor Swift showdown.
Yes.
Step aside, Kanye West. Almost said Kanye Swift. That was close.
Kanye
Taylor
wishes.
Swift has a new rival. It's Metallica.
This is what these 90-minute episodes are really giving us. Seeing this sort of camp life is really endearing. It really helps you build a connection with the contestant as a player. Yeah, no, as a viewer.
Yeah, and these are two-hour episodes. This is like a two-hour episode. This probably wouldn't have even made it into a 90-minute episode cut. Because they name each, luckily they didn't show it all, but they each name over 100 songs.
Incredible.
From their respective artists.
I have to say, Charlie's an absolute icon for using Taylor Swift's All Too Well and then using All Too Well, the 10-minute version, as two different answers.
Oh, once he ran out, he was going to start recycling the Taylor's versions.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Well, we already did 1989. Let's go to 1989 Taylor's version.
Charlie's, I think, you know, obviously, like, people know Taylor Swift's song titles. Like, probably the people at the beach, a lot of people knew them. Viewers at home, we know, even if you're not a Swiftie, you know a lot of Taylor Swift song titles.
Yeah.
Because you hear them on the radio and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's, I'm thinking he's got a little bit more freedom here because nobody on that beach or at home knows any Metallica song names. And when he sang them, they all sound the same to me. He could have made these up. So
I want the Metallica fans to write in.
I made up a few fake song names and I slipped in one real Metallica name. And you can tell me which you think is the real one.
Okay. This is so exciting.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We have Seek and Destroy, Death Day, Doom is Glooming, Screaming at the Wall.
Seek and Destroy.
Wow. How did you know that?
I know that one was on Guitar Hero.
You got to be kidding me.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh. But you get the point, right? I mean, all those names
those are
sound
good.
The same.
Screaming at the Wall. I would fall asleep to that.
And I thought Doom is Glooming was a good
Doom
one.
Doom is Glooming.
Okay, hold on. My trivia on that is not quite over.
Okay.
Which artist do you think has more songs?
Metallica.
You would be mistaken.
Really?
Hugely mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, how many songs does Taylor Swift have?
Care to take a guess? I've got the number.
I mean, couldn't be that many more than what he said already, like 150?
It's more.
How many?
Take another guess.
200.
It's 243 songs.
Holy cow.
Metallica only has 151.
It was a losing battle for Ben no matter what.
So it was. Even if Ben could name all of them, he would have...
That's crazy.
Yeah, lost in the end. But Ben and Charlie's Tribe is awesome. Yeah. They're awesome. They get along so well and... It just seems like it's a really fun time over there.
Yeah, they seem to be enjoying themselves. I think they all have a good positive attitude.
Right.
And they all seem to get along pretty well. Back at the Nami Beach, Liz just can't help herself.
Liz, heaven help the
speaking
lady.
Speaking of being deep fried in mystery oil, Liz has arrived. The one and only.
It starts off with you jump into kind of a middle of a conversation. And Liz does her third person where she says, nobody's going to want to marry Liz. And she continues to say, nobody's going to want to marry her because no man would know how to be with her because she makes so much money and she doesn't need them.
Yeah. And men don't know how to handle a woman who makes a lot of money.
This reminds me of a backhanded compliment on How I Met Your Mother. They talk about these a lot. An example from the show would be whenever Barney says to a girl, I love your glasses. They totally pull focus from that whole chin situation you got going on. This is what Liz is trying to do to herself here. She's saying like, oh, nobody would want to marry me. I'm too rich for any man to handle.
She does it to herself.
Yeah, exactly. She's like putting herself down, but bringing herself up at the same time. It's a really weird conversation flow, and her tribe doesn't know how to handle it. Tevin tries to say like, well, you know what? Like, I bet that there would be so many men lining up to be with you. And Liz says, well, they all want to, but can they? Everybody wants to be with Liz. Trust me. That's a quote. That's a direct quote.
Everybody wants to be with Liz.
Trust me. Like, how do you respond to that? It's so weird when you give somebody a compliment and then they just agree with you and add more onto it. And then it's like, all right, I don't know what to say now.
Yeah. Well, I was just being nice. I don't actually believe that. Oh, she's talking about how much money she makes. And then, you know, Randon kind of has a confessional where he's talking about, yeah, Liz is so weird. She's like never, you can never get a real answer out of her. She never seems like she's being real. She just says she like trains people on how to make millions of dollars. Uh-huh. Like that's what her business, she owns five businesses or whatever. Uh-huh. And man, then it shows a clip of her saying to Randon as they're walking through the jungle, yeah, I got big into doing podcast interviews. I've done like 300 in like a 2-year span. And I thought, we got to get her on here. Clearly, she's saying yes to everybody. You think we could get her on the podcast?
You know, I did a quick Google search of her, and I saw her Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not saying that Instagram followers is a direct tie to success.
Uh-huh.
Our podcast is a great example of that. But all this to say, her accounts weren't booming.
Hmm.
And I tried looking up some things about her, like podcasts I could find her on, and I couldn't find anything. I'm sure she was on a few. I'm not sure. Maybe she was on a few, but it's not like top result on Google type of stuff here.
300 in a 2-year span, okay? There's a little over 700 days in a 2-year span. So that's every 2 to 3 days.
Ooh,
for 2 years, she's doing a podcast. Randon, though, does transition into kind of thinking out loud to himself about he's found this beware advantage. He doesn't really have any allies. Mm-hmm. Feels like he just needs a one person that he can like talk to and share. And wouldn't you know it? Venus. Who's sitting there lonely on the beach, staring out at the sunset, just needing someone to sit by her and chat with her.
I like this duo together. Also another unlikely duo.
It's time for him to eat his crow, though.
It is.
I love his quote. His direct quote was, I'm comfortable with Venus, but I shouldn't be. But I am.
Okay.
Why shouldn't you be?
Yeah.
What's wrong with her? What's wrong with her?
I think they could be a great duo together. It's unlikely because he said he hated her 12 hours ago, and now he thinks she's his only ally.
Yeah.
But I'm here for it, and I'm so happy for Venus. Obviously, Venus is kind of like victim mentality or just like not making an effort. It bothers me a little bit, but I can look past that, and I'm really starting to like her. You hate her.
No, I agree. I think she's not going to win. I mean, she's not even going to get close to winning. I just think she's too, like, she takes everything too personally.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be like just let the bad stuff roll off your back like a duck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she harbors.
Yep.
She harbors grudges. But it's fun to watch, so no problems there.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, I have got some breakdowns for you and a little bit of tea. Okay, Sam, you know I am so excited that we get to partner with Everett Interiors. They are absolutely fantastic. They can do anything from one room to your entire house, so it's really customizable. It wasn't in the budget for me to do my whole house, so I just did a few rooms, and they're my favorite rooms.
They do in-person and virtual interior design services, so even if you live across the country, across the world, they will virtually come to your space, and she'll take your ideas and make them something beyond your wildest dreams. You can reach them at everettinteriors.com. That's EVERETT interiors.com. Or you can find them on Instagram at everett.interiors.
And of course, they gave us a 10% off code to share with y'all with code MERGE, MERGE.
Okay, we're back for the immunity and reward challenge. You want to give us our challenge breakdown?
I told you I got tea.
You want to give us our tea?
I do.
Okay.
Why would soda get so riled up at this? They are starting with a conversation about how the new tribe looks after voting off one player. And Q kind of says, I know that we're the laughing stock, but that was when we were playing with 6, so maybe let's see what happens now that we're playing with 5. And
I thought Q, perfect, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, me too.
He perfect was, what he said.
Exactly. I thought it was great. He's kind of trying to save face a little bit. He's trying to, you know, keep morale up for his team. It was great. He wasn't trash talking at all. And Soda is kind of like, oh yeah, like I can take it. I can take this kind of talk. She can't take this kind of talk. And starts off light and then she kind of says some stuff. And then like under her breath, after the conversation was over, says, how's your food taste? You know, she knows they don't have food. It's a roast, you know. And she's serious. It's not a great color on her, you know.
No, she's like, she's about to cry.
Uh-huh.
Like Q just said something. And Soda's like so worked out, she's about to cry. And then Venus says, calm down. And Soda's, well, he started it.
Yeah, started what?
Started what?
And it's just crazy. I'm like, the man's already down. You do not need to like remind him that he's starving.
This whole sequence, just Yanu, their whole tribe getting roasted by the other two tribes. It reminded me of like the scene from The Office when Michael is trying to get Toby to punch him and he's like egging him on. And then who is it? Is it Kelly? Who's like, yeah. Punch him, Toby.
Yeah.
Punch him. That's how I felt about Yanu. I was like, just shut him up. Oh, man. Those other tribes needed some humbling.
They did.
Especially Siga, the green tribe. They've won nothing.
I know.
The only thing that's kept them from going to tribal council is the fact that Yanu's slightly more terrible.
Exactly.
But Siga hasn't come close to winning anything. They're talking a bunch of smack.
Well, the Zen Cam found my new Zen person for the season. Every season there's somebody who I think can be super Zen and just like channels into this like inner strength and is able to crush challenges and whatnot. Banu said something that made me think he's going to be that person.
Really?
Yes. I know you think it's crazy, but he talked about how hunger is like the furthest thing from his mind. And he had this great speech about it. And I was thinking, here we go. That's what you need for somebody Zen. They need to separate reality from the mind.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is Banu takes that and then flies off the handle.
Let's just wait.
No, he's hungry. I could tell. Let's for justice.
Just wait until it's individual immunity and he's hanging on a pole. I think he's going to thrive.
Yeah.
If he can just make
it. I don't know if he's going to make it, but we'll see. The other two tribes that didn't vote somebody out, they have to sit somebody out. Mm-hmm. So Mo, she goes and sits out for Siga. Mm-hmm. And for Nami, the one and only Liz. That's what
third
she says.
Time. Uh-huh. Not even halfway through the episode.
She says that about herself. She volunteers to sit out.
When they're giving Jeff the idols back, one of them tied a bandana around the immunity idol.
Mm-hmm. Gave him a buff. Mm-hmm.
And Jeff's like, oh, it's cute. Like, good thing I carry this knife on me. And gets it off. But, you know, there's
that
a...
was BA.
It was. There's a type of person who carries a knife with them. And Jeff is that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, that guy who carries a knife, it actually comes in handy so often.
Yeah.
I'm not the person who carries a knife, but I've benefited from a person who carries a knife all the time.
Ironically, every time I've needed a knife, I've been with someone who has a knife.
It's incredible. At my sister's wedding, they were cutting the cake. They had no knife. Lo and behold, a guy with a knife was there.
He's like,
they
used his knife to cut the cake.
Jeff is that guy.
You carry a knife around, you're saving people's weddings.
All right, I have the challenge breakdown now.
All right, let's hear it.
So one person from each tribe races to release a machete, chop down a rope, and that rope releases two wheels. They put those wheels on a cart and dig up a chest to put on top. After pushing the cart through an obstacle course, they use their pieces in their chest to solve a massive survivor arch puzzle.
This is where the comedy really begins.
Mm-hmm.
This whole challenge was so unintentionally funny. This is what it made me cry a little bit.
Okay,
like tears were coming out of my
eyes.
Tell
me everything.
It all started when it's intense challenge, and then it cuts to like the music stops and it cuts to Mo and Liz,
yes.
Who look, we talked about this. They look the exact same, mm-hmm. And talk the exact same.
Yes.
And Liz says, "Hey, nice to meet you. What's your name, by the way?" "Oh, I'm Mo." "Oh, I'm Liz. I like your glasses. I like your socks."
It's like
Andrew Garfield Spider-Man meeting Tobey Maguire Spider-Man for the first time.
I was just about to say it's like on Seinfeld whenever Jerry meets Bizarro Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. It was universes colliding. I was afraid a black hole was going to open up right in between them.
Their conversation was so casual and you could tell it probably got awkward. Like they didn't have much to talk about, but they did have to sit next to each other for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And it's just awkward. Like, we've all been there when you start a conversation with somebody, but then you have to sit close to that person. You're in a proximity with that person that you didn't think you'd be for that long. And so there's this awkward kind of tension because you already talked. I'm sure that's what was going on between them. And so then to kind of solve that awkwardness, Liz just decides, I'm going to yell at my team nonstop. I will keep my mouth open for the rest of the game.
It's so funny. I do want to dive into the Survivor, deep into Survivor Reddit.
Okay.
This fan theory's got to be out there somewhere. I think that Liz is Mariah from the future. and she's come back and they're sitting on the bench. I just expected Liz to be like, hey, stick with that email business, kid. We're going to make millions.
I've got a hot take. I don't think Liz is making as much money as she said she is.
The rare hot take that everybody agrees with. This is the hardest thing we've ever seen anybody do ever on this show.
Yeah, or just in life. I don't know.
In life.
These guys were making faces like I'd never seen before.
Sad.
It was.
It was unbelievably sad to watch a group of grown adults struggling to build the word, what was it?
Persevere.
Perspiration. Persevere. Persistence.
Persistence.
I think it was persistence. And they just could not build this arch. They basically all had to pitch in and hold up some of the blocks. And apparently the blocks were pretty heavy.
Right.
And they had to build an arch and nobody could do it.
Yeah.
It goes to commercial in the middle of the puzzle.
Never because seen that it's happen.
They had a halftime.
Right.
The show had to take a halftime break because this puzzle was taking too long. I think this was originally slated to be a 90-minute episode, but they had to stretch it to 2 hours so they could fit this whole puzzle in. They have a segment that is like a time lapse of them struggling with like Jeff yelling in slow motion.
It was.
Nummy drops.
What's so like sad to me is that everyone is mad at Jess on her tribe. Everyone is mad at her.
So even unfair. Though
it's definitely a group thing, and multiple people dropped. It showed two times where Jess dropped.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped so many more times than twice.
After they started getting mad at Jess, I started looking at their tribe mates, right? At her tribe mates and how they were doing. Nobody was doing diddly squat out there.
Justice for Jess.
Justice for Jess. You got to start that trend
so
on Twitter.
So every time it fell, somebody would yell, Jess! This just totally reminded me of, you know, early Survivor. You tell me you remember this. When Colby's brother comes to visit him.
Oh, yeah. What is his brother's name?
I cannot remember his brother's name for the life of me.
You're going to have to get that clip and post it to the Instagram.
Okay, for sure. It is hilarious. Colby's brother comes to visit. They're participating in a challenge together to earn extra time for a loved one's visit. And although it's completely a group effort, Colby is like attacking his brother every time. What's his brother's name? We got to think of it. I know it's not Steven, but just as example, Steven, he like throws the water to Steven and Steven doesn't catch it. And he's like, Steven!
You gotta
but
look
like
it
his
up.
Throw was
you
awful.
Gotta, you got to Google his brother's name real fast.
Okay, I'm on it. What's his last name? Colby's last name?
Donaldson.
Oh, it's Reed.
Reed.
Yeah.
Reed. Yeah, he's getting so mad. It climaxes with Banu just losing his crap.
Seriously.
When Jess drops. But it's not just Jess. Everybody drops it, but they decide to yell at Jess. She holds her composure incredibly well.
Yeah, I couldn't say enough positive things about Jess and the way that she handled this, this whole episode moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's why... It's got to be the hashtag of the week. Justice for Jess.
Justice for Jess. Yeah. Oh, man. But this is the best challenge we've had in years.
This
was making me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
And the place where I started to cry was when we finally learn what Liz does for a living. And it's when they're all putting the arch up and she starts chanting, yes, you can. Yes, you can. That's how she makes her millions. She is a yes, you can.
Yes.
That's what she does. Spoiler alert, Yanu loses.
That's right.
The losers continue. They're losing streak, and they're all pretty upset after the challenge. The other two tribes get to go home with immunity. Nami gets a full set of fishing gear,
including a fishing manual, which I've never seen before.
I missed that.
A Survivor fishing manual.
Wow. Was it at least in like a different language?
No.
It was not in Fijian. It was in English.
It was basically in papyrus. No, what's that called? Papyrus.
Was it written on papyrus?
No, what's that font called that
everybody Hieroglyphics? Oh, papyrus is a font.
It is that? Yeah. Papyrus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Banu thinks they just lacked planning. Has nothing to do with the fact that they voted out their tallest tribe member who could have easily held up all those blocks.
But could he have spelled it?
He probably couldn't have. He probably would have been like, looked at all the blocks on the ground and be like, this obviously doesn't spell a word.
Something to note here, everybody is so mad at Jess. Jess is the one who came up with the name. Jess is the one who figured out what the word spelled.
Yeah.
So they're helpless without her.
That's true. They would have been trying to spell predominant or something crazy. Tiffany is really upset, which both times, I feel like, both in the first episode and this episode, in both Immunity Challenge, I feel like Tiffany was putting a ton of effort in, mm-hmm. but not really helping.
Really?
First thing, she was just hanging on the front of that giant gecko, if you remember,
that's right.
And which slowed them down so much
right.
because she wasn't helping lift the back. Mm-hmm. And in this one, I watched her so many times, she's just holding one or two,
right.
where she's just rushing and she's slamming those pieces up without any thought of
right.
how they're going to get the middle up or who should be holding what.
Right.
Just like, just go, go, go. But not really helping.
Right.
You know? We get a quick break and we go to the Nami beach. They have their fishing gear. Everybody's hunky-dory. Because I can't remember the phrase that got banned on our podcast last season.
Kumbaya.
Yeah, nobody's kumbaya.
Tevin has that little like spear fishing thing that's mm-hmm. kind of like you press a button and it's like... you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a little like an elastic band
okay,
that you
yeah.
sling.
And he shoots it at the ground. It lands in the dirt. And he says, I feel like Rupert. And Rupert rolled over in his grave.
Rupert, it was so upset watching, knowing that that's going to dull the blades on the spear. What are you shooting that into the ground for? Venus is, she's bugged.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, Soda tried to take the idol that was given to her by Jeff.
Did you catch this? I love the little highlight it does of both
mm-hmm.
idols being
the back to back on
I
the
loved
edit.
It.
Yeah. Soda, what is Soda's deal with trying to take the idol?
But Randon had her back.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, no, you keep it. You hold on to it.
Yeah, we all earn this. Mm-hmm. You earn, like, you hold on to it.
Right.
Unfortunately, Venus's toe also got crushed.
Yeah, and she's not going to let them forget it.
Yeah, because no one listened to her. I mean, if it were me, no one was listening to me, I would just go to Plan B and I would move my toe out of the way. But hey, you know, she's stuck with her guns. You know what I thought about too? This is a whole new season because last season, Dee's toe would have pushed that cart all by herself. just a sentient toe, just lifting that whole chest up onto that cart.
That is hilarious. Well, Tiff goes and has a little bit of a mentee bee. That's mental breakdown.
A mentee bee. What is that? Is that real?
It's real. It's real.
Got
you
got to
get with
guard.
It, Sam. You got to get with
got
it.
Me off guard.
Anyways, she's crying on the tree. Now, this is a serious moment, so you better quit laughing over there.
Tiffany's mentee bee. Sorry.
She's crying, and I feel for her. I feel bad for her. She's kind of saying, like, she feels bad about how reacted, and she's worried about how she's going to be perceived, you know, by the other players there. And I feel that, you know, she was really stressed and like, it's really competitive game. Like it's not right to judge somebody based off of just a snippet of what they do.
Yeah, when somebody
in
gets
a really high intense situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's what I do for a living, but other people can't do it.
That's right.
But truly, it did make me feel for her. And I understand like the kind of like, I don't know about embarrassment's the right word, but just like the remorse she felt about her reaction. And I'm just saying, I'm giving Tiffany grace because I know that it was a really high stress situation. And the fact that she can recognize that she didn't like the way that she behaved, that says a little something about her.
I agree.
Now, I hate to just say all this nice stuff about Tiffany and then flip it, but Jess and Tiff are giving Mean Girl.
Mm.
This is what reminded me of high school.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of being like the Mean Girls, and they were kind of being the Mean Girls to Jess. And I really didn't like that, especially because I like Jess so much.
They hatched this plan to bring in a fake idol.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing. Fake idols are the only thing in Survivor that make me go, aw, really? Do you have to? It's kind of mean.
Exactly.
Everything else, for whatever reason, the backstabbing, the lying, the blindside.
Right.
Like, I love all of it. But a fake idol's like, that's too far.
It is, especially to somebody like Jess.
Especially when you can just vote him out.
Yeah.
Or you can just convince them that you're trying to blindside somebody else so that they don't play their shot in the dark. You don't have to embarrass them in front of their family. Like, it's a good thing Jess is married, because there's no way anybody would date her after she played a fake idol.
How embarrassing. It is so hard to watch, because they plant the fake idol, and then Tiff is like, we should go look for idols. Don't you think we should go look for an idol? You don't want to look for an idol? Because you definitely need an idol. And she's got the stink.
Yeah,
you
she
remember
does.
We talked about it last mm-hmm. season.
She's like, did you look in that little cubby hole right over there?
Yeah. And Kenzie and Tiff are talking behind her back and to the camera, like, how hard is it to find this fake idol? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I walked her right up to it. And it just makes me roll my eyes at them. Like, they're saying, how hard is it to find an idol? And I'm like, pretty dang hard. Nobody in your tribe could do it except for one of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it in that same exact spot.
And you're standing right there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Like, you're walking up and down that wall, like, oh, did you look here? She's like, no.
But you are.
But you're looking there.
Yeah.
So if it were there, you would probably find it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
I really didn't like this scene. The whole last half of this episode actually put quite a bad taste in my mouth for both Kenzie and Tiffany.
I thought Kenzie was getting too comfortable. I thought they were showing all that stuff to kind of imply that Kenzie was going to get voted out.
Yeah, that would have been great.
I mean, nobody can... She calls Banu and Jess dinguses. You can't call them a dingus. She said dingus. She said, we're playing with a bunch of dinguses, and you can't call them a dingus and get away with it. There needs to be repercussions. That's a serious offense.
I admire that Jess hunted around the camp and looked at other beads. She was onto it. She said, these beads look familiar, basically. And I am very proud of her. But, you know, then she goes to Q, and Q sells it like nobody's ever sold it before.
Q is incredible.
That's why he's the number two salesman.
Q jumped to the top of my power rankings.
Oh, yeah.
This
amazing.
Episode. He was amazing.
She asks him, is this real? And he's like, give me that back if you're going to question my yeah. methods.
He's like, how about this? How about you give me that back? Yeah. She's like, no.
Yeah.
I'll never question again. Q is great. Honestly, he just gives it to her. He just gives her the idol, tells her to play it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes, sir. Because he was so convincing.
So convincing.
He was like, I'm doing you a huge favor. I would have felt so bad for Jess. But Q could have cared less.
Yeah. He really separated his emotions from the game, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he probably was like, who knows? I might not, still might, I'm giving you a fake idol to play to embarrass you, and I still might not vote you out.
Right. Resume builder.
Exactly. Before we get to tribal, I had one more thing to talk about.
Okay, let's hear it.
Why does Tiffany, right before they go to tribal, mm-hmm. why does Tiffany throw Kenzie under the bus to Q? They are in an alliance of three.
Yeah.
It seems like, yeah, Tiffany's number one alliance is Q.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Her number two alliance is Kenzie.
Right.
But Kenzie thinks that she and Tiff are super, right. super tight. It's just like last season with like Austin and Dee and Austin and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, yeah, this is my real number one, but I also have another number one kind of a right. thing. Tiffany is in the best spot ever.
Yep.
She's got two number one alliances. Herself. But she throws one of them under the bus to the other.
Yes.
And says, hey, she doesn't trust you. Like, we're going to have to get rid of her.
Huge mistake.
What in the world is she thinking?
Yep, you just need to make them both think that you're their ride or die.
Exactly. And you really got to lay it on thick to gel as a group of three.
Yes.
Because if they can't work together, you're going to lose a huge shield.
Very astute.
Just had to get it off my chest before tribal.
That's fantastic. All right, well, let's get to it.
At tribal council.
It starts raining.
I didn't even notice the rain.
It was lackluster. I was really excited when I noticed it at first. It wasn't the kind of rain I was hoping for, but I'm just crossing my fingers that this might be a rainy season.
A rainy season. Mm-hmm. If we don't get one close-up shot of pruny feet, so help me. Jess is considering cannibalism at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She was almost wishing that Banu had cut a piece of his finger off with the machete for the protein.
In these moments, like, I feel like at tribal, we see a little bit of Jess's real personality. Like, mm-hmm. that was funny. She made a really funny joke, and mm-hmm. I think we don't see it a lot at camp.
Yeah.
But in these moments, I kind of feel like I see a glimpse into her real life, and I think she is probably, you know, a very witty, funny person to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And it did make me sad, you know, earlier in the episode, she basically said, like, these people just don't like me for whatever reason. Like, I thought I was going to get along better with them, and I'm just not. But, like, I have my husband and I have my family, so, like, I don't need these guys to like me.
Yeah.
Which we had said earlier, like, we really admire the way that she handled it, but it still breaks your heart a little bit.
Yeah, it is. I think this tribe, Yanu, and also Orange Tribe, mm-hmm. with the Venus Tevin drama, those feel very adolescent. like right. those situations, like Soda cutting off Venus because nobody yes. wants to talk to her. And, you know, obviously all the stuff that's happening with Yanu right now. But the green tribe, Siga, they are all gelling. There's no mean girls.
Right.
Nobody's rude. Everybody's just getting along. And I wonder how much like just Ben and Charlie and you know, Maria and Jem and all of them, they all just have positive attitudes and are, I don't care who you are, you know, I just want to get to know you, just be right. friends, be friendly. And it's night and day difference.
It really is. It's huge.
This is when things start to take a turn for the worse yep. for Banu.
Banu starts by betraying Jess, and he says that he heard that somebody called him emotional behind his back.
Somebody, I don't know who told him.
Well, basically everybody but Banu was there when Jess heard that information.
Exactly. Everybody knows exactly who told him. There are only two people there. Mm-hmm. And so if it wasn't me, it was definitely Jess.
He starts listing off reasons why he's a great player. He does it on his hand, and he starts listing them off in order of, you know, one, two, and he's counting fingers as he goes until he gets to five. And then he puts his hand out like, how do I describe it? Almost like hands, it's like a high five, but his fingertips are spread out, and he just like juts it out towards Jeff like, how could you resist this?
I have five reasons why I'm a great player. Look at my hands. Yeah, Banu's great. This is what we were talking about last episode. He is such great entertainment.
Such fantastic energy. He's just
energy, yeah. And it's going to kill his game.
I know.
But he's so fun.
But he might be a character like Coach.
It could be. He just needs somebody to recognize that.
Right.
And say, hey, you know, he's going to rub people the wrong way. People are going to be wanting to get him out. He's a great shield.
Right.
And bring him along.
Yep.
Doesn't seem like anybody's going to do that.
Yeah.
This leads me to another thought that I had this episode. Jess wants to get Kenzie out.
Right.
Because she's trying to strategize. She's a threat. Mm-hmm. Earlier, Randon wanted to get Venus out because he thought she was a threat. We're in day one, day two, day three, day four. Mm-hmm. The people, I'm convinced that the people at this stage in the game who want to get out the big threats mm-hmm. are the worst players.
Yeah, that's interesting, and I agree with it.
If you're already trying to get rid of a big threat at the beginning, before the merge, that just means you're not a threat.
Right.
That's all that means. Mm-hmm. If you're a big threat, you want those other threats come merge time. All the other eyeballs are on someone else.
Yeah. Well, you gotta say eyeballs, just say
eyes. I don't know why.
So right before they vote.
You had to have looked this phrase up. Did you look it up?
I did.
Okay.
Say the phrase for the viewers.
The phrase is, well, first, Banu is panicked now because mm-hmm. he said too much. He's kind of put his foot in his mouth. And so he's worried that they're all going to change their vote to vote him out. So he starts asking everybody one by one, are you going to vote me out? Which is a good strategy. People should use it more often. And then he goes to Tiffany and says, are you going to vote me out? And Tiffany just looks at him and says, stop making the block hot.
Oh, I did not. That's not the phrase that I looked up.
Well, what is the phrase that you looked up? Because I'm also curious.
The carrot was laid in the snare.
Oh, the carrot was laid in the snare.
Yeah.
That's from a while ago.
Yeah.
I see. That's a real phrase, right?
It was a real phrase.
Yeah. But stop making the block hot.
Let's look it up.
Yeah, what does that mean?
According to Urban Dictionary, it translates directly as the police are on the block, usually used when trying to announce publicly to run away.
I'm learning new things every day.
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about here was that Kenzie, I mentioned earlier that I felt like she was really giving off mean girl vibes. And I just met like a generic mean girl in high school, but she literally gave off mean girl Regina George vibes to me here. Banu does say to her right before they vote, he says, who should I vote for? And she says, vote for whoever you want. And he says, no, please don't do this to me. And she says, I'm not going to play this game for you.
She's the apex predator.
And she was like kind of smiling in this weird condescending way, like literal Regina George vibes. You don't have to play this game for him, as she says, but you are supposedly in alliance together.
Mm-hmm.
So it bothered me that he said that, and it broke my heart that Banu said, don't do this to me. He's like, please don't shut me out.
Please don't slam the door. All the panic for Banu is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because they all stick to the plan. Jess switches her vote to Banu, mm-hmm. but that's it. It's her last act of desperation. She plays her fake idol. Doesn't work.
Right.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Needless embarrassment. She goes home. Sad. Lost a good soldier out there.
It was sad, and I don't know why she voted for Banu. That was very confusing to me why her vote was cast to Banu.
I think she thought that everybody was switching their vote to Banu because of how tribal went.
I think that was a poor mistake. Obviously, Kenzie. Nobody was voting with her anyways.
Yeah.
But that was a very brave assumption to just switch your vote like that, especially when Q gave you the idol and everything. Like, if she had voted for Banu, and only he and her were in on that together, and he voted for Kenzie. That could have been, really backfired. That
could have been embarrassing, yeah. No kidding. That was brave. But hey, apparently she wasn't the greatest player. She gets voted out second.
Poor lady. Justice for Jess.
Justice for Jess. Banu was hungry for justice, and now we are too. Let's go over the voting stats. Still pretty...
Yep, super simple. There's just one vote currently at play, and it's on Banu.
There it is. It's Jess's vote. She left her mark, unlike Jelinski, who went out silently. No one will remember his name. All right, let's get to the mailbag. The mailbag question, remind us.
I wanted to know who your favorite was.
Who was your favorite? Did I word it right?
Yeah, a little too right, if you ask me.
We did get some responses. Let's read through them. This one is from Maddie from Houston. Says, all right, as a fellow Swiftie, I love Charlie. I have to, but I just love Banu. He's one of those people you can't help but love. The moment he shoved that rice in Jelinski's face, it was a done deal for me. He shoved it in so fast, I was dead. His facial expressions are so freaking funny. Plus, I just love his enthusiasm and optimism. Mm-hmm. He's just so cute. I love him. I hope he stays on for a while. We all need more Banu in our lives. Quinn from Draper, Utah said, I'm going to have to go with Q on this one. He represents all the Q-named people out there well with his hard work, Q-tips of truth, and determination. Thank you, Quinn. Sal from Minnesota said, Tevin for president. I love his point of view on things. He has a great vibe and seems to be chill with everyone. I can see him performing well socially throughout the whole game. And I know you guys said to say your favorite and not who's going to win, but I really do think that he stands a chance to win too. Sal's probably pretty on point with that. Mm-hmm. I think Tevin does stand a chance to win. Q does too, though. Q's a stone cold killer. Mm-hmm. Ken from Toronto wrote in to say, Charlie has my heart. I'm in my Charlie era. He said all the right things and done all the right things. And of course, now he's in the most iconically named alliance in the whole show. Can't wait to see him do great things. Thank you, Ken. What a great episode.
That was an excellent mailbag. I love hearing everybody's thoughts. I've got a new question of the week for y'all. I want to know what you think about Banu. Do you like him? Do you hate him? Do you think he's going to be a good player, a bad player?
We want to hear all your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. On Banu.
I want to hear... five things.
You think he excels at.
Listed five on finger each power. Finger. The five fingers of power. Send it in. As always, you can just clink.
Clink.
You can click the link. Let's just shorten it to clink.
Yeah. Clink and bio.
Click the link in the bio to our email address. It's themergefeastpod@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts on Banu. What you like about him, what you may be apprehensive about. We're excited to read everybody's responses. Send us your thoughts for anything. It could be show related, could be whiteboard related. Give us your thoughts. We love to read those other opinions in the mailbag as well. Or you can send us a message on one of our social media accounts. We love it when people do that. We're really appreciative to the people who have reached out to us about the show. It's really encouraging. We love that. You can follow us at The Merge Feast Pod on Instagram and TikTok, or at The Merge Feast on Twitter or X. Those links are also in the description.
And we hate to be these people, but...
give us 5 stars. Just, we want it.
It's not too much to ask. On the real, it would mean so much to us, and we're super excited to break down next week's episode, and we'll see you then.